It wasn't so long ago that for someone to video your image and record your voice required a crew, a cameraman, a sound man, maybe somebody else who set up the lights. They probably worked for a television station, and the likelihood of such a crew filming you was limited by the sheer expense of doing it. Today, a child with a smartphone and maybe a monopod can do what that crew did, and with streaming video and a Facebook page or a Twitter account, that kid can also do a lot of what the television station did. Where does this leave the notion of privacy? To those still images that Alicia's narrative photo device takes every 30 seconds, or the videos that that kid takes with a phone or Google Glass, do they leave any room where we can really expect privacy and freedom from media? Well, Kurt Wimmer is a lawyer whose specialties are privacy and data security. He's represented many major media companies. Welcome.
Thank you.
To the program.
Pleasure to be here.
Let's start. What do we enjoy in the way of a right to privacy, which I gather was really articulated in response to what passed for high tech in the 1890s?
That's exactly right. Back in 1890, a very influential article was written by Justice Brandeis and Samuel Warren talking about the right to privacy, a right to be let alone, which really hadn't existed in our law before then. And that was a reaction to the new technology of the time, which were cameras that could take photographs and be published in newspapers, which greatly alarmed Brandeis, who was quite a socialite and didn't like photographs of his friends and family showing up in the newspaper.
Well, over 100 years later, do I, let's say, as someone jealous of my privacy, am I in any way assured by law that at least you can't just take pictures of me every 30 seconds?
Well, it depends a little bit on what state you're in. But generally, in terms of the taking of the photograph itself, it'll depend on the space that you're in, whether you're in a place where you really have a legitimate expectation of privacy. And courts have gone through various types of environments where you either do or don't have that kind of expectation.
But especially in the digital age, that sounds like a moving target, the place where you have the legitimate expectation of privacy.
Absolutely right. And every time there's a change in technology, the law has to struggle to catch up a bit.
Well, say I run into you at a restaurant and we talk and I'm wearing some subtle device that's recording and photographing you unbeknownst to you. Do I have a right to do that to you? And do you have a right for me not to do that to you?
Well, it depends a little bit about whether it's a photograph or video or audio. So in most cases, if you're in a public restaurant or a public bar, you absolutely do have the right to photograph whoever you're with. If, on the other hand, that you're recording audio and the conversation that you're having is one that the person would not expect to have recorded, there might be a different right of privacy that attaches to that.
As a journalist, I'm liking this freedom I have to record people, yeah, but right. Is a bar really a place where everybody who goes there assumes, oh, I could be photographed right now?
If it's the classic type of bar where anyone could get in, really, especially these days, have to assume the risk that you might be photographed.
Let's say I go to the restaurant and I see Elise Yu sitting at the table next to you, and I record her with her knowledge for some online multimedia build-out. Unbeknownst to you, you're at the next table. I incidentally take pictures of you and your mysterious lunch companion. Fair game?
In a public place, it would be. And if my lunch companion is really mysterious, I should have picked a more mysterious place to go, I think.
Well, what's a place that isn't public?
Well, for example, courts have looked at public restrooms, dressing rooms. In some states, hotel rooms or hospital rooms.
Any place where you might be undressed.
Well, yeah, that's one way to look at it.
That's
it
the
might
test?
Be the undressed rule, yeah.
What if I take that video that I shot of Elise Hugh in the restaurant where we happened to catch you and your mysterious lunch companion because you were sitting next to them, and I put it on a blog, it's embedded, and we sell advertising based on that image?
Well, that's a great question, and it raises two other issues because we had really been talking about just capturing the images or the audio, and that sort of brings into play one area of law. If you're actually publishing, that brings into play a different area of law. And if you're publishing for profit, that's even something else. So if you take a photograph in a place where you're entitled to take it, generally, if you publish it for a personal use or a news gathering use, at least in the U.S., you should be okay. If, however, you start charging for it or you put advertising next to it, then there's a different kind of right called a right of publicity that kicks in. And the person whose image is being used for a commercial venture needs to give consent and most likely needs to be paid something.
Kurt Wimmer, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Kurt Wimmer is the chair of the Privacy and Data Security Practice at the law firm of Covington & Burling in Washington, D.C. If you'd like to see some of the images that Elise Hugh caught on her narrative clip, you can find them at our tech blog, All Tech Considered, at npr.org.